Thank you, Brother Darrell. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a good question, isn't it? And Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? None's good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments," and most of us do. "Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal." I don't need another Bible but the King James. It's not I don't understand this. I got a problem living this. King James can't get no simpler. I mean, what's so hard about don't? And so do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. That's lying. Amen. Honor your father and mother. Respect them. And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." He ought to have said, "None of these have I kept from my youth up." Because none of us have. And he said, "All these have I kept." And Jesus heard these things. He said, "Yeah, but you lack one thing. Sell all you got and distribute to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. Follow me." When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he is rich. Listen, it's not wrong to have money. It's wrong for money to have us. The Bible said when Jesus saw he was sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter in the kingdom of God?" Let me say this. If you got this worldly wealth this morning and you're saved, a born-again child of God, you got a lot to shout about. Now, an old broke boy like me, I got something to shout about too. But I'm going to tell you, the odds are against you if you got something. You know why? Because you get to thinking you don't need Him. But let me tell you, you do need Him this way. All blessings come from Him. And this is what Jesus said. It's easier. I don't know what's harder, to see a rich man get saved or a religious person get saved. It's a toss-up. America's got religion. They just ain't got a lot of Jesus. And it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man in the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, "Well, who then can be saved?" I like this. He said, "The things which are impossible with men, they're possible with God." Peter said, "Lo, we've left all and followed you." And he said, "Well, verily I say unto you, there's no man." This is what Brother Randy taught on this morning. "There's no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting." You may be seated. That's also what Brother Darrell just alluded to. Verse 30. He said, "Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and..." Guess what? There's a world to come. See, this isn't all of it. A lot of atheists say, "Well, you know, I don't believe in God." Well, that's your opinion. I'll take what the Word of God said. And so certainly I think a lot of times we're caught up in just now. But I'm going to preach on this thought this morning on now and later. Now and later. I want to say there are some things that we need to be doing now. What are you doing now? First of all, the Bible says we that are saved, we ought to be working. In Luke 19 and verse number 12, here Jesus is telling about a parable. He said, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them," here's a word, "occupy." When? "Till I come." Now, it's no place to lay the gauntlet down now. No place to fold our flag up and put it in the dresser drawer. Now's the time we need to be doing, saying, "Preacher, how long? Till He come." By the way, He's coming. And he said, but his citizens hated him, and the world still hates Christ. I don't know. Hey, look up here. I don't know why that the church wants to go to the world, because the world wants no part of the church. Come out from among them and be ye separate, what Jesus said. Jesus isn't looking for a church to be like the world. He's looking for a church to be a light in the world that draw the world unto Him. He said if He be lifted, He'll draw all men unto Him. Now, if you want to play golf, go join the country club and play golf. If you want to socialize, go to Ryan's and socialize. But we're going to have church here. We're going to magnify the Lord Jesus, see sinners saved and saints encouraged, and be real devil fighters in this last day. Now the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we'll not have this man to reign over us. And that message is still going out in the world we live today. Now it's fine. You know, everybody says they believe in God. Well, what about Jesus Christ? The Bible says there's one way to heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have your opinion. Your opinion's wrong if it don't line up with this book. Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by Him. Honey, all roads don't lead to heaven. There's one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so here, the world wants nothing to do with Christ. They would not receive Him. And they would not have Him to reign over them. Let me tell you something, honey. You don't reign over God. He's not the beggar. We're the beggar. He's sovereign. He's God Almighty. You don't have Him at your fingertips and at your disposal. Honey, let me tell you, we got things backwards today. We're the beggars. We're the needy people. And we need the God of heaven to help us in this day. And this hour. Now the world wanted no part with Him. And the Bible said this. Came to pass that when He was returned, having received the kingdom, then He commanded these servants to be called to Him, to whom He had given the money, that He might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now this word occupy in verse 13, it has to do with being busy of oneself to trade. In other words, what are you doing with what Jesus has given you? To whom much is given, much is acquired. And no doubt, Jesus has given you so many special things, so many gifts. And He distributed those, and He went to His kingdom. Now the Bible says when He's come back, He wants to know what you've done with what He's given you. I'm going to tell you, in our church, oh my, Jesus holds us to a higher standard. He's given us great and mighty things, powerful things that we must be occupying, that we must be doing His business till He come. Now, the Bible says this, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds in verse 16. He said to him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5. He said likewise to him, be thou also over 5. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here's thy pound which I've kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said to him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Now a lot of times, he says in verse 23, wherefore then gavest not thou my money to the bank, that in my coming I might have required mine own with usury. In other words, he said, what I've given you, you've let me down with. Now I realize everybody can't preach. But everybody can pray. You know, the biggest lie the devil has given us as a child of God is we can't pray in our school. Why can't we pray in our school? You don't have to have an audience to pray. You don't have to have a slip from the principal, young people, to pray. You can pray in your classroom. You can play on the play. You can pray on the playground. Hey, listen, child of God. Even though we become a socialist nation, and it seems like that nobody wants to offend nobody. Hey, it's still Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I got an old buddy down in Lebanon, Tennessee. They called him over there to give the prayer at the Nashville Speedway the other day at the races. And that old boy got up. He's a big old cornbread looking feller. Good boy. I mean, he'll fill up a pair of overalls. Amen. He got up and he went to hacking a hot hallelujah. What is it? He said, praise God for life. He said, thank you, God, for some of you that you've allowed to race their way on into glory. He said, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, amen. Can I tell you, it's still all right to pray in Jesus' name. It's still about the Lord of glory that hung on a cross and died for our sins. Hey, it's time that we occupy till He come in preaching and in praying. Now, you may not be able to preach, but everybody can pray. And you know, we ought to be busy in God's kingdom, working with what He's given. What does He give you to be a blessing? Some of you may can write a card. Some of you may simply can do a handshake. Matter of fact, some of you need to work on your handshake. Amen. You look like you've been cooped up with a Doberman pincher all week. Somebody save me. Hey, you say, well, I'm saved, preacher. Well, let your face in on that you got saved. Amen. It'd do me good to see you smile a little bit this morning. And so occupy. Get busy till we go. Can I ask you, what are you doing for Christ in your life? For that's the only thing that's going to last. And so he said he distributed to everybody. And when he come up, it was a settling day. Can I tell you, Jesus is coming back and it's going to be a settling up day. And we are going to give an account of what He's entrusted us with. Listen, look up here. Look up here, Mom and Dad. Listen, Daddy. God's entrusted you with them children coming giving that can this morning. What are you doing with what He's entrusted you with? He's given everybody something to work with. This morning, I went and seen my dad-in-law early. You know what? God's allowed that in my life right now to check on him and see about it. What am I doing with what God's give me? I was looking today, preachers, we got more study tools than our forefathers ever had. I mean, I've got a whole library, a book cabinet full of good fundamental books. I've got electronically, it's amazing what I've got to study would absolutely, it's just mind-boggling. We ought to be doing with what God's given us to do with. Now, a lot of you can't be like nobody else. All you can do is be yourself. Amen. We can't be nobody. I remember the preacher I sat under. I went and got me a pair of cowboy boots just like him. But let me tell you, he had them cockroach stompers. Amen. You could get them cockroaches in the comb. Them things killed my feet. I mean, I said, if I never preach another lick, I can't preach in them things. I had to find out I just had to be what God wanted me to be. Can I tell you, God is just wanting you to be what you ought to be and to work with what He's give you to be this morning. So we ought to occupy. We ought to find ourselves being busy for the Lord Jesus. We don't need to find ourselves busy in gossip. We don't need to find ourselves busy and backbiting. Matter of fact, sir, ma'am, if you'll take care of them doorsteps at your house, you won't have time to fool with nobody else's. Amen. I used to worry about my neighbor a lot till I realized I got 15 acres to keep cut and trimmed and pine strawed. Amen. I got a lot to see about with what God's entrusted me. Now, Liberty Baptist Church, God has entrusted us with a lot. They're some of the best people in America in this church. God's blessed us in such a way. He's given us a choir. He's given us preaching. He's given us teachers. He's given us leadership that's wonderful. Hey, God's entrusted us with a lot, and we better get busy doing His work because Jesus is soon to come. Now you say, well, preacher, we talking about now and later. What are you doing now? I hear a lot of people say, well, I want a job to do. Well, look around. It's plenty to do. Plenty to do. Some of you families, you visiting this church, you know what you ought to do? You ought to quit visiting and you ought to join it. You ought to quit visiting and you ought to join it. This is a good place to belong. I know the preacher's crazy. I know he's loud. I know he's out of the box. But honey, let me tell you, out of my heart, I want what's good for you, what's good for the church. I want to lead you toward heavenly things. Try to keep my life right. I don't know of a better place to be in town. Amen. And they done seen your car down here, so you might as well rejoice in it. Some of y'all want to wait till sunsets before you pull out in the highway, afraid somebody see you down there at that place that ain't eat up with religion. Amen! I'd hate to know I was at a church where there's a 6-foot icicle in the pulpit, and there's a milk cow coming down the altar handing out popsicles to all the Baptists on Sunday. Somebody say, thank God, we ought to realize, honey, this is the last day, and we got great opportunities to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I promise you this, there won't ever be a woman here preaching to you. That messes up some of your doctrine, but I promise you that won't go on here. I'm not confused on my Bible. The husband of one wife. God didn't create Adam and Steve, Adam and Eve. I'm not confused in this messed up society, Brother Jeff. I know God has order in the church house. He has order at your house. And we better line up and realize He's coming back. And it's going to be too late to do anything when He comes back, glory to God. You say, well, preacher, do you really believe He's coming back? I know it's moron saying when He'll get here. But honey, I'll just do what Jesus said, the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, glory! Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And can I tell you, honey, heaven's going to fix it all that morning. I tell you one thing, I got a little glimpse, Brother Randy, out of that glass darkly. He's coming out of the east. I'm looking toward the eastern sky. Thank God I know He's coming. So, preacher, what do you say? We ought to occupy till He comes. I wish some of you would get as busy for Jesus as you are for the corporate world. I wish some of you was as busy for Jesus as you are the ball field. Lord, the mooses and the gooses. Oh, get quiet. I'll shake your pew this morning. You got boys that come in down yonder on Wednesday night and hang around. They won't even darken the doors to a church house. Don't say amen right there. And honey, I'm going to tell you what. We ought to be busy in the Father's business. Occupying. Preacher, what do we do? We ought to be working. And let me tell you what. Work is labor intent. It don't come easy. Thank God we're in a ministry that's growing. Thank God for it. I'm glad we got workers. Brother Dennis at the ministry last night, we had the older folks on the hill looking about these children. Thank God. We had younger ladies looking after the little one. I'm glad, honey, that work is what it means, work. By the way, the Bible said you don't work, you don't eat. Everybody's lining up for a check. Won't you get your sorry hide out there and go to work somewhere? Make our taxes go down. Everybody wanting a handout. And this is amazing to me about these young boys coming along, friend. Ain't nobody taught them how to work. I come up on a farm. They taught me, Brother Tim, 18-year-old, how to work in a hay field. Now let me tell you, boy, you can't work in a hay field with your breeches on the ground and your hat sideways. Yeah, man! Lord, these boys now, they need four hands. They need two to hold their breeches up. Pants on the ground, pants on the ground. Looking like a... Boy, my daddy could have cured them pants on the ground. He
He said, "Boy, what you thinking? Pull your britches up." My mama put darts in my britches. By the way, that's what the Holy Ghost fixed to do. Some of you done went to slacking. Your britches done went to slacking. He fixed to put a dart in them britches, honey. Because you done got too big for your britches. Oh, we ought to be working till Jesus. Look what he said, till he come. Everybody's waiting on somebody else. I wonder how many's here this morning. 300. Wonder how many will be at the work day Thursday night. Hang on now, I ain't got second gear yet. I'm wiping sweat. I wasn't going to preach like this today. I got my red shirt on. Work how long? Till Jesus. Brother Donald Hubbard back here, he's 83 years old. I guarantee you, he's done got to the point in life when he gets up, his shadow's hurting. We all say, "Well, we can't come to church. You know, my elbows are hurting me." But you can go down there to Lee's Fried Chicken and get you a bucket of chicken, and that elbows are doing pretty good. Yeah, and you ain't got enough gas money to drive to church 3 days a week, but you got enough to get the ball field 5 nights a week. How long till Jesus come, he said. Till Jesus come. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming. It amazes me. People think this is a fairy tale. Jesus is coming. And as a child of God, let me tell you something. We better quit looking at temporal things. Because Jesus said this, he told Peter, he said, "Now listen, boy." He said, "There's nobody that is left, house or parents or brethren or wife or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time." You think you ain't got much now. What if you wouldn't serve in God? I guarantee you, some of you standing on the blessings of God, and you better watch yourself. You'll go to forgetting the blesser. Some of you got some blessed. You got a nice boat. I got a boat, thank God for it, but I ain't out there on Sunday in it. You know, we work our fingers to the bone, but then we're toy crazy. And I am too. I meet up with toys. I got four-wheelers, bass boats, shotguns, deer ride, golf club. I got everything any good redneck ought to have. But I try to keep them in priority. There ain't nobody here loves to hit a golf ball better than your preacher. But I ain't got a tea time this morning at 11:15. I try to keep my priorities right. Now he said, "You're not going to give up nothing now." And the devil will tell you, "You better not turn loose of that. You'll never have it." I'll never forget this. 4 years ago this summer, God told me to walk out of a job of a lifetime. Matter of fact, most people never see it in a lifetime. And it wasn't me, it's just the grace of God had them fooled about me. Said, "Boy, he's a wizard. He's smart. Son, I was dumb as a rock." You know what the devil said when I left? He said, "Listen, you'll never have nothing." And he is partly right now. Everything's given to me. The devil didn't show me the things God is wanting me to enjoy and do. He just showed me the things that I was fixing to give up. And that's what the devil's telling about you. Now you know if you're going to turn loose and serve God and be dedicated, look what you're going to give up. Yeah, well, maybe you can't see yet through that glass darkly of the things that you can't even count coming your way. Can you put a blessing on any of these children sitting by you today? Can you put a monetary value on anything by you on a pew this morning? Hearing the gospel, hearing an old-time preacher preaching old-time way, listening to choir sing old-time songs. Can you put a price on being able to reach out to your brother and sister and they pray for you? Can you put a price on what you had back there in a back building last night with couple after couple fighting hell by the acre in their marriage, but you realize that it's that way at everybody's house, and we need this Bible, we need the God of this Bible to help us in our homes. Look around here this morning. Everybody's not perfect. And ma'am, I'm sorry you got it all figured out. We just ain't got there yet. Well, if you was my husband, I'd put rat poison in your cereal. If I was your husband, I'd eat it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We're imperfect. And we need guidance and we need help every day of our life. Now and later. What are you doing now? Let me tell you, young couples, you've got the best time imaginable to do something for Christ. Everybody thinks church is boring and obnoxious. Let me tell you, there's help at Liberty Bank. You hear me? The God of this Bible can get you help this morning. They said, well, who can be saved? Jesus said, with me anything is possible. He can put lives back together. He can break addictions. He can reach out yonder where your wayward children are and bring them to the fold. Mama, Daddy, I don't care what your age is and you've never been saved, He can save you today. He's not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. Now and later, we ought to be working. Number two, we ought to be watching. In Mark chapter number 13 and verse number 5, Mark 13. Let's look in verse number 32 to clarify some things and underline it in your Bible. Now and later, we ought to be watching. First of all, in Mark 13, 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, but I believe they getting tuned up. Neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. What time? When the Lord returns. When's He coming? I'm telling you when He's coming. When He comes. Just be ready when He gets here. It's not if He's coming. It's when He's coming. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray. For you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house, gave authority to his servants. Matter of fact, we got authority. We got authority in this church. We have so much authority that the devil's not welcome here. We stand in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus, and He's given us authority to preach in power and unction by the Holy Ghost. We don't have to submit to the ways of the devil, nor the world. He's given us authority till He comes back. I'm glad we got authority to have churches. Does anybody want to have church down in Bowden, Georgia? Anybody want to help me have a church in Bowden, Georgia? People need a church they can go to. Now watch, for you know not when the master of the house cometh at even or at midnight or the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly He finds you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. He's saying to the saved, you better be working with what I've given you to work with, because I'm coming. And ye that are lost, He said, you better watch, because He's coming in an hour that you know not, and there is a world to come. When we die, that's not the end of it. The rich man, Luke 16, the Bible said that he died and in hell he lifted his eye. Nobody wants to hear about that no more. But let me tell you, that ain't out of our Bible neither. There is a heaven to gain and it's a hell to shun. And the only way that you get to go to heaven is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in a Baptist church. It's not in a water baptismal pool. It's by grace through faith plus nothing minus nothing else. Watching. Are you watching? Watching. You know, Luke 12 and verse 31, it ought to settle something. You ought to write this down. I'm just going to mention it. I note it down, but I want to say this about, you know, giving something up for later. Luke 12 and verse number 31. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't let the devil hoodwink you and say, it's not worth it to serve God. It is worth it. And by the way, God says He's going to give you some blessings on the way. Now we ought to be watching. Watching. Jesus is coming. Thirdly, now, not only should we be working, should we be watching, we should be warning. Look what He says in Mark 13. He says this, boy, I wish I had time, but in verse 5, Jesus answered them, began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. There's many antichrists that's come. Soon as Jesus left the scene, there were men stepped up to try to take His place. But nobody can take His place. He said, many will be deceived. Many will come in My name. Verse 7, and when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, the Middle East is in a constant conflict. Be ye not troubled, for such things, what must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in diverse places. Well, the tsunamis ought to be waking people up. What about that flood down in Mississippi? Reckon God's getting mad yet. The Bible said in Nahum chapter 1, I preached a message here 3 weeks ago on what God's saying out of the storm. First of all, He said, God is jealous. God hates idols. He hates anything that's in our life before Him. And He said, earthquakes in diverse places, different places, there shall be famines and, look, troubles. There's trouble on every side. If you don't believe it, just go west of here a few hours. There shall be famines. These are the beginnings of sorrows. Everybody's saying it's fixing to be a national revival. Our Bible don't teach that. In the last days, it shall wax worse and worse. There's sorrow coming to our country. Take heed yourselves, and they shall deliver you up to councils. There's people right now on trial for freedom of speech. Hate crimes. Now, did you know before long, you'll see this day, if God will allow me to live 30 more years, you'll see the day they can lock me up for preaching against homosexuality in our country. They'll pass laws. It's a hate crime. No, God says it's an abomination. It's an abomination. Then He says this, they shall deliver you up to the councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beat. Religious people. I never seen religion running so rampant in my... Did you know... Now, this makes some of you mad, but it may clear out a spot for next Sunday. Joel Osteen said this on Larry King Live. Sir, will you agree that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? I have the document where he said, I will not say that. He's pastoring the largest church in America. Look what they're sitting under this morning. Religion. You know what religion will do? It'll do what it did in Christ's day, put you in hell. You must be born again, is what Jesus said. Nicodemus, the most religious man in the Bible, come to Him, said, Master, we know Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things unless God be with him. Jesus said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You must be born by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost has got to deal with your heart, show you you're a sinner. At that time, turn by faith to Christ. Call upon Him to save you and serve Him. He said, be of great religious outbreak. You know what's happening in our country now? Muslims are religious. But they're lost. Without Christ, if you bypass Christ, you don't go to heaven. He's the doorway to glory. He said it's going to be an outbreak of religion. Now we live in a socialist America. You can come pray, but now don't you say nothing about it in Jesus' name. Then you've made a dogmatic statement. Can I tell you, we've made a dogmatic statement at Liberty Baptist Church. It's about the high potentate, the Lord Jesus, the King of glory, that one day He'll come back for His children. Glory to God. He said it's going to be a great outbreak of famines and pestilences and earthquakes and roars and religion. And then He says this, they'll bring you in their synagogues and shall be beat. You'd be surprised, the fundamental Baptist churches wouldn't even let me preach in their church. And it's not my mannerism, it's my message. I know folks don't like a loud, sweaty, running, shouting preacher, but some of you do. And I ain't changing horses in the middle of the race. He's built this, what you see, and He ain't done yet. And we've not done it by compromise. The only liberal I like is a giver. Ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. You know, when this church, Brother Randall, sends a missionary out, we're 1 mile closer home. They outspreading the gospel. Jesus said, preach the gospel in all the world. Thank God we're in a ministry that sends out messengers across this world. Telling the good news that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. The Bible says this. Verse 12, the brother shall betray the brother to death. The father, the son, children shall rise up against their parents, shall cause them to be put to death. It's amazing. Would you ever thought in 30 years ago we just seen children taking mom and daddy's lives? Verse 13, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. I thought, sure, you know, a man had preached like we do. I'd walk in a cafe and bow and somebody'd buy you a piece of chicken. They seen one of our members down at the hardware store the other day and said, y'all got that old strict preacher, ain't you? He said, y'all's church sort of strict, ain't it? He said, ma'am, our Bible's strict. God ain't about loose living. Shacking up still wrong. Shacking up still wrong. Homosexuality still wrong. Taking God's name in vain still wrong. Stealing still wrong. By the way, if you owe church member money, you ought to go to them and reconcile. You ought to pay your bills. Quit being a scallywag. Brother Dennis, somebody come buy a car from you, leave you owing about $10,000. I hope the Lord lets them have 5 blowouts next Sunday. Amen. To remind them, pay your bills. Man, I ain't even nowhere on this outline I built. What now? What we do now? We better be watching. We better be warning. You know what He says now? Verse 14. But when you shall see the abomination of the desolation, spoken of by the Daniel prophet, standing where it ought not be. Where's it at? It's in the holy place in Jerusalem. The temple has been torn down. The most magnificent temple ever been built has been destroyed. 70 AD. But you know what? They've got the cornerstones cut right now. Watched it on the computer this morning. They've got precious things now to go in that temple. You know all they're doing? They're waiting for God to say, all right, you've got the ground where the old temple was. Go in there and get it from the Muslims and build that temple. And friend, when that temple is erected, He said there's going to be things going on in there that ought not be going on, just like what's happening in our Baptist churches across this country. That's another message. I got to stay. I got to go. Let him that is on the housetop not go down to the house. Neither enter therein, take anything out of the house. Let him that's in the field not turn back again. What's he talking about? He's talking about the tribulation period. 7 years of tribulations going to happen in this world. But listen, if you're saved, don't worry about it. We're going to be in glory land. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. I've seen a door in heaven open. And boy, the most chaotic mess that's ever happened to a country starts to be revealed. We better be warning. The Bible says this. Verse 17, but woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in winter. There are going to be tough times for those left behind in the tribulation. The Bible says this, verse 24. Now, here's not the rapture, but the revelation, the return of Christ. But in those days, out of that tribulation, the sun will be dark and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. We better be warning people. You know, it sounds so crazy, don't it? You know what? This is what the Bible says. Now I'm fixing to be done. I want to slow down a minute. I want to say it so you can understand. I'm excited. We got to be working. We got to be telling others, Jesus saves. We got to be doing spiritual work. Jesus is coming. He's coming in the rapture, the graveyards. Those that are saved, he's going to get up out of the graves. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Your loved ones are with Christ today if they're saved. He's coming back with them. The body is going to get out of the graveyard. We're going to get new bodies. We're going to get glorified by it. We're going to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus. Then for 7 years, there's going to be a tribulation period hit this earth like nothing's never seen before. It's going to be 144,000 Jewish preachers come on the scene. They're going to preach their everlasting kingdom. We're going to be at home with the Lord. After 7 years of tribulation period, we're coming back with the Lord. Going to set up His millennial kingdom. You say, preacher, I don't understand. You ain't got to understand none of that but this one thing. Have you been born again and saved by the grace of God? And you won't have to worry about the Lord coming back. Now I realize there was a man got a nation's attention. I can tell you one thing. God did use that. We that are biblically sound realize there's no way in the world did He know anything about that. Jesus said, no man knows the time nor the day. But we do know this, that are saved. He's coming. Jesus is coming. And so now, I want to say we need to be working, we need to be watching, we need to be warning, and we need to be waiting. Because there's a world to come. Jesus taught. Let me ask you something. What are you going to do in the world to come? You're not going to have that time to get right. Miss Julie, you just play me something today if you would. You see, the way eternity finds you is the way eternity is going to keep you. Today's the day of salvation. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand about being saved. Well, let me tell you this. Do you understand about being lost? Do you understand that we all are sinners? And that's why we've got to be saved. Just because we sin don't make us a sinner. But we sin because we are a sinner. Brother Tim Choir sung that song. I got to think about all of those that's in heaven waiting. Preacher, what are we doing? Oh, we waiting for a return. Hey, boys. What they going to do with your stuff when you saved and Jesus come? Why are you so close to all that stuff? You're going to leave it. You ain't taking none of that with you.
Jesus said, matter of fact, if you'll give up some of it now, He said, I'll bless you for it. The world comes. It amazes me as a preacher that I walk down the streets of our town and look at the people just like there is no world to come. And this is what amazes me about some of you here this morning. Not a better people in this country sitting here. And you don't even think about the world to come. Ma'am, Jesus said you got to be saved. Sir, Jesus said you got to be saved. Let me ask you this. If the rapture would have happened yesterday, your husband saved, your wife saved, what would you be doing today? I tell you what you'd be doing. You'd probably be trying to come hear from an old preacher, but a preacher wouldn't be here for you to hear. What would you have done? Well, that don't change the fact, even though He didn't come yesterday, He is coming. That don't change the fact. And this don't change. And you always remember that this preacher this Sunday morning told you that. You always remember this when you meet eternity. Just because you don't believe there's a hell, it don't change the fact that it is one. Don't let that world find you lost. I wish I could get saved for you. I'd do it. I can't repent for you. I can't call on Christ for you, but I can tell you how. Would you trust what Christ has done for you on the cross this morning? Simply by faith, take a step toward Him. And in your own way and in your heart, cry out to Him, say, God, save me. Forgive me, Lord, of what I've done. Give me peace in my heart. Because, God, I need to be saved and I want to be saved. And can I tell you, if you want to be, you can be. You can be. Saying, Miss Julie, whatever you need, Mom and Daddy, maybe you need to gather around this altar today. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. You ought to come to Him and call upon one that loves you.